He had already noticed the young woman's eyes. Her pupils were dilated, like those of a hunting cat, linked to a fast blink rate. Sure signs of heavy drug use. The fact that Traven kept his posse doped out of their vacuous skulls was one of the few things that Ryan felt might give him a chance during the proposed dark snaking. The winding walkways opened up into the area around Paraglide Paradise.
Oh, Gaia.
Christy half turned her head away. Rainbow heard her and grinned delightedly.
More to come, Copperhead.
Ryan stared impassively at the scene of butchery, knowing that nothing he could do or say would make any difference. There were four bodies, maybe five, or only three. One lay at a little distance from the others, presumably having fallen at a slightly different angle or velocity. The others had landed more or less on top of one another, a jumble of dislocated, entangled arms and legs, skulls buried in chests, and pelvises embracing ankles. Blood had drained away down the slope of the path, soaking into the edge of a large flower bed. The bodies seemed to be all male, and from what remained of their clothes, had probably been sec men.
Kelly?
I can't be sure. I figure...
Ryan stopped as Mildred's question was answered. The sturdy figure of the non-com, four silver stripes glistening on his left arm, appeared through the small silent crowd. Kelly was bareheaded and had obviously been given a bad beating. Both eyes were swollen nearly shut, hidden beneath purple bruises, capped with crusted blood. His nose had been broken, and there was more black blood around his cut lips. He walked with a limp, his wrists cuffed behind him.
Ha! I missed the others. At least I'll see Kelly flying.
JB caught Ryan's eye and allowed his hand to stray significantly toward the hilt of his own technoknife. But Ryan shook his head.
There's no point.
Kelly, walking unsteadily between two young set men, had nearly reached them. It was obvious that he was almost blind, but he paused as he passed Ryan, looking up. Head on one side, he tried to peer out through the curtains of puffy flesh.
Be seeing you.
Ryan nodded, biting his lip to contain his raging anger.
Yeah. We'll be sending some of them after you.
Kelly almost succeeded in a grin.
Get a move on.
His keepers pulled him away into one of the metal cages beneath the flamboyant parachutes. The three men climbed in, and at a signal, began to ascend slowly into the air.
I want to go back to the Gator Motel.
Rainbow looked at Mildred.
Take more than one little itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny steplet, bitch, and you get to flap your arms up there with Kelly. You read my lips?
Mildred narrowed her eyes, and JB laid a hand on her arm, restraining her.
It's fine, John. I wouldn't foul my hands.
Ryan was looking to the side, at the top of the Centerpoint Tower. There was a balcony around the revolving outer wall, and he could see several figures standing there. The sunlight danced off what he guessed must be the mirror jacket of Traven. A huge, shapeless mass stood between two smaller figures.
Looks like Traven's dragged Boss Larry out to watch his handiwork.
Christy glanced around.
Yeah, no sign of Doc up there.
Keep him snug inside.
His head still together?
Ryan nodded.
Far as I could tell, I don't think they've tried him out with any dream yet. If they did...
The cage, now a tiny speck above them, hung motionless in space. Ryan turned and saw Traven raise a puppet-like arm and then drop it smartly. Mildred looked down at her feet. Christy closed her eyes. JB was staring fixedly at the blasters in the guard's holsters. Ryan watched the execution from beginning to end, wanting to remember it when the time came to settle with Adam Traven and his posse. The two secmen were struggling to lift up Kelly, ready to drop him over the side, but he wasn't making things easy for them.
Get the fuck off of me!
The cage was rocking, the supporting wires jangling against each other. Even from the ground, the waiting crowd could hear shouts and cursing.
I got him now!
Drop the bastard!
Ryan had never met a popular sec man, and Kelly obviously wasn't any exception. It looked as if the end were seconds away. But the bound man kicked out and fell inside the cage, bringing one of his guards down with him.
Go for it, Kelly.
But with his hands cuffed and one against two, Kelly couldn't hope to hang on for very long. Moments later, they again lifted him. One locked his arms around the helpless man, going on tiptoe to lift him. The other seized Kelly's shoulders and bent him back. back and over.
Yay!
Taking one with him.
The cage, swaying from side to side, held only one figure. Kelly had managed, at the final moment of beginning his deathly fall, to lock his legs around the waist of the smaller Sec man, his own weight and momentum taking him over the safety rail. The interlocked figures came apart as Kelly released his grip. It seemed as if the wailing man were trying to run on air, legs pumping, arms working. Kelly dropped like a stone, motionless, his body tipping so that it eventually landed head first, about 10 feet away from the Sec man. Both men died instantly.
God rest his soul.
Would be worse ways to go, Mildred. It was fast, and he took an enemy with him. Could be a hell of a lot worse.
If you say so, John.
Rainbow had been so eager to gloat over the pulp remains that Ryan and the others were allowed to make their own way back with only a pair of Sec men for company. They left them at the entrance to the motel.
Don't forget, you gotta go with the posse tonight.
Yeah, they said it'd be at midnight. Wear dark clothes.
The guards went off together.
Midnight. Dark clothes.
I know, JB.
Ryan looked across to Centerpoint, where the circular balcony now stood empty.
I know.
Getting tired of farewells.
JB and Mildred had gone back to their own room, promising to come back before midnight to wish Ryan luck. At first it had seemed as though Ryan and Christy were going to make love, lying together in the bed, naked, embracing. But they simply held each other close, arms tight, snug as spoons in a drawer.
We aren't apart for long.
It isn't that, lover.
Then what?
It's being separated and the constant fear that I'll never see you again.
I always come back safe.
Apart from the occasional knife or bullet wound. And the day'll come when you don't. When I sit and wait and keep looking at the door.
It's the way it is.
Christy pulled away from him, shuffling to the far side of the bed, leaving a huge aching gulf between them.
That's such shit!
Christy, I just...
There's that ice-hearted little bastard himself. Half a dozen of his posse crazies, maybe some Sec men along as well.
I don't reckon...
All right, maybe there'll only be the seven of them, all with blasters. And you with your panga. Good odds, lover. Real good odds.
Seen worse.
Christy sat up, the sheets falling away from her body.
You're like a little boy, Ryan. There's times I think Dean's got more sense than you. We could have gotten out of this ville clean and away, but you wait. Wait until time slides by and then it's too late.
I can't leave Doc.
Doc would have been dead a dozen times in the last couple of years if it hadn't been for you. We both know that. But there are plenty of those times that he needn't ever have been in danger in the first place.
Yeah, I know that.
Christy caught the note of apology.
Yeah, I know you do. But this can't go on forever. Maybe tonight'll be the time you don't win. Maybe tomorrow, next week, next month.
Maybe never.
She slid back toward him.
You know that isn't true, lover. Because one day it will happen to you. And then what do? I'm lost if you die, Ryan.
We'll find a place. Like Jack has.
Sure. I've seen it. You told me. Clean water and good earth. Fresh food and as near peace as you can find in Deathlands.
Want me to tell you again?
Yeah. And hold me, lover.
Once again, they cuddled close, and Ryan began to talk in a quiet, even voice about the spread in New Mexico, painting a picture for her of the beauty and serenity of the land. After a few minutes, he was aware of her breathing becoming slower and steady. He stopped talking and quickly joined Christy in sleep. Ryan had the ability to bring himself awake whenever he wanted to. He didn't even need to glance down at his wrist chron to check that the time was within a couple of minutes of midnight. He rolled out of bed and silently got dressed, checking that both the panga and the slim-bladed flensing knife were in their respective sheaths. During the evening, they discussed the possibility of trying to conceal a blaster, but all of their guns were too large to use as a hideaway. He glanced over at the bed, where Christy seemed to be fast asleep. Rather than wait to be summoned, Ryan decided that he'd go out of the motel and walk to Centerpoint. They'd already found that Traven had placed Sec men at the front and back of the building. He took the pocket radio out of his coat and put it in a drawer.
Ooh. Hey, I'll come outside with you.
You sure?
Yeah. Only take me a minute to get dressed.
They went out of the room together. Ryan hadn't noticed that he'd set the radio control on receive. In the confines of the